Yeah, it's true. The Hall of Fame has something. Stu, the University of New York, on the ONSA, they're the co-sponsor of it. So it's the Cooperstown. It's called the Cooperstown Symposium on Baseball and American Culture. It's held every June, and researchers, mostly academic areas, researchers from around the country submit their abstracts, and from those abstracts, around 50 or so are picked for presentations. So it's a competition. A couple years ago, they didn't do it all last year because of the of COVID. There was no Zoom, there was no live deal. But so all of us presented our papers this year that were in the competition technically 2 years ago. So and that competition was so strong that all the entries became anonymous. They took the names off everybody's entries because the competition got so tough. So it was really nice to be picked again. This is my third time to present. My first time was as a co-presenter with Aaron Birch, who's in the admissions department at Lipscomb. Joined me as a presenter. He's been a presenter much more than I have been. Is Willie Steele, who is in our English department at Lipscomb. We both presented. He presented last Friday, and I presented this Friday. It was over a 2-weekend period this time. So it's an interesting deal. I got found out about it at Lipscomb through Aaron Birch, and didn't really think to go. I'll go but one time, but I've been lucky enough to go twice now.
So
two more times now.
What is it you talk to them about?
Well, the first time I did with Aaron, our paper was about how the 1970s culture had an influence on the baseball uniforms of that decade, and it was kind of off the wall. But we Frank DeFord, the great sports writer who was the keynote speaker that year, we were talking to him after he spoke, and he asked Aaron and I. He goes, "What are you? What's your paper about?" And we told him. He grinned. He goes, "I'd like to hear that one." So that meant a lot to us that he thought it was an interesting paper from that standpoint. The next time I went, a year later, I did a feature on a guy here from Shelbyville named George McConnell, who nobody had really heard of. I found his name on the way to something else. I go, "Why has this guy never been written about?" I called him the Forrest Gump and Roy Hobbs of baseball, because he was on the New York Yankees the first day they wore pinstripes. He played the first year that the Cubs, that the Wrigley Field, which was not called Wrigley Field at that time, the first year that field was open. He was supposed to be the opening day pitcher, but got bumped to the second day. Those obituary says there's opening day pitcher, which is not right. But he also pitched against Babe Ruth in Babe Ruth's first professional game in Baltimore in the minor leagues. And he didn't really get into the majors till he was in his 30s, when life expectancy at that time was early 50s maybe. So he was really kind of long in the tooth when he got into the majors. He was an interesting character to write about. He played first base and pitched through his career. And then this time around, I stayed in Tennessee, and I wrote a story about an abstract about Hank DeBerry, who was nicknamed the Old Scout. And he was the last person to scout Willie Mays before Willie Mays went into the major leagues. And his scouting report of Mays, when Mays was in AAA in Minneapolis, is known for its like poetry. The scouting report's like it's almost as legendary as anything else that happened to him. It's copied everywhere. That was interesting. Also, Mays went on that year in 51, after he had, or later in the summer of 51, after DeBerry had scouted him, went on to the New York Giants and helped them win the pennant. And another player that DeBerry had seen 4 years earlier, named Larry Jansen, a right-handed pitcher, he talked the the New York Giants into signing him, saying he was the best prepared pitcher for the majors he'd ever seen. And Jansen was on the mound. Everybody knows that Rob Blank was on the mound when Bobby Thompson hit the shot heard around the world, but Jansen had come in as a relief in the top of the ninth inning, so he got to be the winning pitcher in the game because Thompson hit the 3-run homer to win the game, and the Giants win the pennant in the bottom of the ninth. So, but he also was the catcher, personal catcher for Dazzy Vance, who was a Hall of Fame pitcher. And matter of fact, he's credited with being Vance's lucky charm and taking Vance from being a wanderer in baseball to actually being one of the best pitchers of all time. So he was an interesting character. He died in Savannah of a heart attack 4 months after scouting Willie Mays. He came back from a scouting trip to Memphis to watch Memphis and the Nashville Balls play. And he came back on Sunday and died on that Monday.
Wow.
Of a heart attack.
This is, in particular, for somebody like me who is a baseball nut, this is incredibly fascinating. Watson,
you would love to come up there. I mean, people come to hear us speak. And, and it's like, you get, I think it's like $50 for people who want to attend. And, and you can hear as many people as you want to speak. Even those of us who are Brazilian papers, we go hear other people talk. Because there's so many interesting stories that come up. I mean, the range is strong. I mean, it's sometimes a little off the wall. Like there's one was about pardon player who stayed in prison. Willie's paper this year was on was called The New Normal, Major League Baseball's Reaction to 9/11. He interviewed several players who were playing at that time, especially with the Mets, and that was his. I think he's writing a book about that as well now too. But that was his presentation, and you have it's a little bit of everything. It's got to be associated with baseball in some way.
Wow,
associated with baseball. So I think you'd enjoy the. Plus, it's just nice. Have you ever been to Cooperstown?
I've never been, and shame on me because I need to get there. Well,
If luck and God are with me next year and I get to go back, I'm already looking at possibilities for next year. Matter of fact, when you called me, I was doing some quick research on someone I think might be a good one to do. You need to go up there with me. So it's 4 days of just baseball. And Cooperstown, of course, it's just all about baseball.
Sure.
On Thursday nights, it was really sad this year we didn't get to go up there because, like I told the woman who's in charge now, I said 90% of this winning this is to get to go to Cooperstown for
mm-hmm.
4 days.
Yeah,
and so that was kind of a disappointment. But they have on Thursday nights they have a dinner in the plaque room, and so it's kind of a neat deal. And we have pretty much carte blanche around the Hall of Fame the whole time we're there. So it's a and the staff there is wonderful. They're the most friendly people, helpful people you ever want to be around in something like that. I mean, they're great. And it's something I kind of fell into. But through Aaron and then through Willie as well. So it's an interesting experience. It's a lot of fun to do it.
Gee, let me stop you here and see what Watson and Terry may have for you. Watson, what do you got?
Gee, I had no idea you were this deep into baseball. Did this come through the Lipscomb, or have you always?
Oh, no, I covered the Sounds for several years, and I've covered the Braves sometimes for the Banner, and went to the Major League All-Star Game, I think, I don't know, 1982, 1994. I went to the All-Star Game every year, so, 95, actually, I think 95. I've always been a baseball fan. I've been lucky enough to meet a lot of players, and older players and younger players, and so it's one of my deals. I've been to over 42 major league stadiums.
Wow.
So over 40, I think it's like 41, 42. It's over 40. I haven't looked at it in a while, but Yeah, baseball is a big part of me. But this has been kind of interesting because it kind of brings your academic side into, as far as it being a teacher. I'm an adjunct to the communications department. Willie's full-time in the English department. So it kind of builds Lipscomb up from an academic standpoint because we're going up there making these presentations. At least I hope it does. And of course, Aaron's done it in the past too. So the three of us from school. And see, this was not exactly the biggest school, so I'd say we probably have as good a representation going up there as any other school has in the country. So, and Willie's also involved in a similar project that happened that meets in Arizona during spring training, which I'm hopefully going to do something for this next year myself. So, it's a little bit more informal than Cooperstown, but it's a lot of fun. They go up there and watch some minor league baseball. I mean, some spring training baseball. And have their seminar as well, so it's something I didn't expect to do, but I really enjoy it.
That's the most unique thing. I've never heard of this, George, so this is unique to me, and I'm an old-timey baseball guy, probably much more so in my younger years than my latter years, but how many people speak? Is it over 4 days, and then how many of you – how many of you speak? Is it 50 different speeches?
Yeah, it's everybody's different. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12, the rough count here, 12, 22, 26, 32, 34, around 55 or so. That's a rough count. I'm just going through the pages, wow, looking at the program. So
that would have to be neat sitting there. That would have to neat, Guy, to sit there. I said that'd have to be neat to hear these different stories, like you just told.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And usually stories.
Everybody has different approaches. I mean, what they're talking about. And he's got a lot. And these, I mean, a lot of them wear their baseball jersey, wore a baseball jersey when they present and that type of thing. I mean, these are people really into baseball. I've done a lot of public speaking, but it's the most nervous I ever am every year. It doesn't get any easier for me. It's because there's so many baseball experts out there listening to you. But the two I've done, the response I get is like, I'd never heard of these guys. It's such an interesting thing to hear about them. So that means a lot to me that I found something in baseball that nobody really knew much about. So, that's kind of what I try to do. I've got a couple of ideas for next year already. One's really, a lot of things are going to have to fall into place, but it would be pretty neat if it does. And the other one, I started researching this afternoon. I had some time, and it kind of was on my mind because of talking today. And I thought, let me see if this guy's worthwhile. So, do a lot of research, a lot of digging into old newspapers, a lot of digging into old magazine articles and that type of thing. So, you have to be a researcher a little bit to do it, as well as a baseball fan.
Last thing for me, and I'll give you to Terry. Is there a way to get online and listen to some of these?
Yeah, actually, it is for $50. I'll get you the information.
So you pay $50 and then you can listen to that 4 days?
Yeah, you listen to all of them. I don't think they've ever recorded this before, but they recorded this year because it was on Zoom. And I'll say this: Zoom was not the greatest way to present. I did not enjoy that aspect of it because you couldn't really see what kind of audience you had. You couldn't really gauge an audience reaction, and I like to walk around when I'm talking, like in teaching or whatever. And so I'm pretty much stuck behind my laptop speaking, and it kind of threw you off a little bit in general. I was not happy as I would like to have been, but I never am about stuff like that. So I usually think there's something that could do better. But and they do something I've never done before. Because I don't want to give up the rights to what I've written about. I don't know why I don't, but
I wouldn't.
You can also present your paper to the Hall of Fame, and they put together a an annual every year on the symposium. They pick, like, I don't know, a handful of articles based on what was said that year, and they publish it. But once you give them the rights to it, you have no other rights to that story ever again. So you sell them, you give them the complete rights to it for basically nothing. So, but I've never done that, and I don't know. I don't know. It's not like I've written something that's a big jewel, but not being able to have the access to publish it again makes me wonder about it. But I wouldn't mind being it sometime, but maybe, you know, maybe next year or whatever, or what I do. So,
Terry, got time for two questions. Go.
Okay, Mark. When you talked about saying that you made a presentation regarding 70s uniforms and how that, you know, baseball was affected by the culture of the 70s, the clothes of the 70s, I'm sure that a lot of that probably started with Charlie Finley's Oakland A's and then included a little bit of the Pirates, We Are a Family, those canary yellows, and then the White Sox with the shorts. So how many different things did you get into when you were discussing that?
Well, those are three primary. Those are three. The primary ones there for sure, and the Expos, of course, were 69. It was not quite 70, but we squeezed them in the Seattle Pilots in the because it was right on the borderline of the seventies. So they wore those uniforms into the '70s. So we talked about the powder change from gray to powder blue uniforms for road uniforms. No more flannel, no more zippers and buttons. I remember my second high school uniform went from flannel to that double knit. We had no belt buckles, no buttons of any sort, just the pullover and the pull up pants. And so that, you know, we talked about all that. In fact, and of course, everything back in the '70s, there were no natural fibers worn by much of anybody. I don't think it was all double knit. And that's what most of the baseball uniforms were at that time. They were double. They were the first time they were double knit uniforms. So, and the colors, you know, was the disco era and everything like that. So the colors became a big deal as well. Cleveland Indians, we talked about them and their all red uniform that they wore for a while. So there were several. Yeah, there were several things like that we brought up. So it was and we tried to bring in as much color as we could as far as photos and that type of thing for the PowerPoint. And I believe I wore a Pilots jersey. My road blue Pilots jerseys. I think I wore that. So, but
you know, you talk about, you know, you mentioned, touched on the powder blue road uniforms. Who was the first team to start that? And those things are actually kind of making a comeback. You see a lot of teams now that wear those as throwbacks or as alternate jerseys. I saw the Blue Jays in them. I remember the Royals were in those.
I saw the Rangers wear them last weekend.
So
the Rangers, I would think. I think the Expos and the Pilots were probably the first two teams to do it. I've got to go back and look at my paperwork, but I think they were the first two to do it. Of course, the Padres had an all brown road uniform, kind of a tannish brown road uniform when they first started playing. So it was kind of a change over in general, but I think I want to say that it was the Expos and the Pilots who did that, who were the first ones to do that powder blue. As a matter of fact, the Pilots only played 1 year, and they have reproductions of their uniforms, and the blue that they used can no longer be reproduced either, so you can't get a reproduction uniform of the Pilots that looks like it did back then because they can't get the material anymore. So, but yeah, the White Sox thing with the White Sox with the shorts and the collared shirts, we got a lot of good comments from players about that, and you know, so a lot of the players didn't really like the blue; they didn't want to come out in the field wearing that powder blue outfit. And so, you know, the players didn't exactly embrace all that at the beginning of it.
Gee, this is fascinating stuff. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come on with us.
I feel like I was tooting my horn. I appreciate you bringing me on to talk about it. So, all I can say is go Islanders.
Yeah, yeah. How about that? Incredibly interesting stuff. Gee, thank you.
Thank you, George. All right, good deal. Thank you now. All right, bye-bye.